Okay, so today I'd like to share with you Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana, contemplation on Dhamma. Yesterday we have mentioned there are four ways or four foundations or four subjects to establish your mindfulness, sati, right? What are the four? Body, feelings, mind, or different states of mind, then the Dhamma. And yesterday, I have shared a little bit how to practice mindfulness of breathing, which is under Kaya Nupassana Satipatthana, under contemplation of body. And today, I would like to share with you one under contemplation of Dhamma. There are several topics. But the first one is contemplation on five hindrances. Why I go to contemplation on Dhamma so fast? Because dealing with five hindrances skillfully is the key to success. Therefore, I purposely choose this topic to talk with you. Okay, so first of all, what is the five hindrances? First one, kamma chanda nivarana, sensual desire. You have to remember this five. If you are unable to overcome this five, you are unable to make progress, either in concentration or in insight meditation. So remember, please remember this five. First is sensual desire, kamma chanda nivarana. Second, ill will, vyabada nivarana. The third, sloth and torpor. Thinna mida nivarana. Number fourth, restless and remorse. Udacha kukucha. And the fifth, doubt, vichikicca. So please repeat this five. First, sensual desire. Second, third, fourth, and remorse. The last, doubt. Okay. And Buddha said, if you do not recognize when these hindrances arise in you, then you are mis-meditating. This is a very important statement. So when the hindrances arise in you and you do not know, then you are mis-meditating. So from what Buddha say, it's so important to recognize or to be mindful or to know when this one of these five hindrances arise in your mind when you are meditating. If you do not know, it means that you have no mindfulness. You do not know what is happening at this present moment. When you have no mindfulness, how are you going to overcome the hindrances? Even the arising is not even you don't even know the arising. How are you going to remove it? Right? Therefore, if you do not know the arising of five hindrances, you are mis-meditating. Okay. And why are the five hindrances, why five hindrances are introduced under the Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana? Because of they are important. Why are they so important? Because the five hindrances, when they arise, they hinder or obstruct your concentration as well as your wisdom. Therefore, it is very important for a yogi to deal with hindrances skillfully. Otherwise, to make progress in concentration and wisdom is impossible. Okay? And if we can deal with five hindrances skillfully, then we are making progress on the path. On the other way, if we do not recognize them, then making progress is become difficult. I would like to quote one example from Anguttara Nikaya that is experienced by Anuruddha. We all know Anuruddha is famous in divine eyes, foremost in divine eyes. But before he became arahant, he encountered a problem in his practice. Therefore, he consulted Venerable Sariputta. And he said to Venerable Sariputta, he said, "Venerable Sir, with divine eyes, which is purified and surpassed the human, I survey a thousand world system." Because Venerable Anuruddha is very famous for his Dibbacakku. He can see thousand world system. That's why he declared his psychic power to Venerable Sariputta. Then he said again, "The energy is aroused in me without slackening. My mindfulness is well established, and my mind is concentrated and one-pointed. However, my mind is still not liberated from the taint through non-clinging." Or another word, although I have psychic power, divine eyes, I can see thousand world system, and my energy is aroused, my mindfulness is well established, and my mind is so concentrated, and yet I cannot see Nibbana. The meaning is that, and yet I cannot achieve the highest goal. And Venerable Sariputta's advice helped him to break through and to realize the final goal. So pay attention to Venerable Sariputta's advice. Venerable Sariputta said, "Anuruddha, friend, when you think your divine eyes, which is purified and surpassed the human, and can see a thousand world system, Venerable Sariputta, Anuruddha, this is your conceit. This is your pride, your conceit. Sometimes when you say that my concentration is so good, and you don't even know, this is your conceit. Right? Similarly, Anuruddha don't even know this is conceit. So he cannot recognize the refinement which is arising at that moment. Okay. Then Venerable Sariputta say again, when you say that your energy is aroused without slackening, and when you say your mindfulness is well established, and your mind is concentrated and one-pointed, when you say that, in fact, this is your restlessness. When your mind is fully concentrated, you do not know anything. And yet you still think, my energy is so good, my mindfulness is well established, my mind is so concentrated. In fact, this is restless. Understand? We don't even know this restless. We keep on saying, my concentration is so good, my energy is, you know, it's aroused. My mindfulness is well established. To the eyes of Venerable Sariputta, this is just restlessness. Okay, the last advice. And you say that, even though I have all this energy, mindfulness, concentration, and yet my mind is not liberated from taint to non-clinging, I cannot see the deathless Nibbana. And Venerable Sariputta said, this is your what? What hindrance? If you are able to know, then you are able to assess your own hindrances. How can it be sensual desire? This is your worry. You worry, I cannot achieve Nibbana. Or you worry, I cannot achieve concentration. Oh, I cannot see the light. So you keep on worrying. And yet you do not know this is the hindrances that precisely hinder your process, your progress. If you don't worry whether I can see light or not, whether I can make progress in my concentration or not, and you can make progress. But because you are worried, I cannot make progress, I cannot see the light, or I cannot see 1 hour, or the pain will kill me. Then because of that worry, that it becomes the obstacle, it becomes the hindrances that really hinder your progress. Therefore, as a smart practitioner, you must have keen awareness, a keen mindfulness to know what is happening in your mind. You worry I cannot sleep at night. Worry I got gastric in the evening. All this worry is the hindrances. If you cannot overcome, you are not going to make progress. So, first of all, as a yogi, your task is to recognize what are the hindrances that arise in your mind. Okay? As I say, without remove the 5 hindrances, making progress is impossible. And Venerable Sariputta said, it will be good if you would abandon these 3 qualities, these 3 unwholesome qualities. What are the 3? First is conceit. Second, restlessness. Third, worry. If you can abandon these 3 qualities and stop attending to them, don't think about it. Don't think about, I will be hungry at night, or I cannot sleep at night, or I only sleep 4 hours. Usually I sleep 7 hours. Now I only sleep 4 hours. Oh, I have to do work, chores. So much worry and restless. How are you going to make progress? So don't attend to these hindrances. Okay? If I don't move, I will be injured. Oh, this worry. So if you, this thought arises in you, if I don't move within an hour, my leg will be injured. If such thought arises in you, your mindfulness must be fast and keen enough to tackle this is what? Worry. Tackle it first. This is worry. Okay, worry is, the worry has arisen in me. This worry, is impermanent, and let go of it. Or don't pay attention to it. Like Venerable Sariputta said, stop attending to the hindrances that bother you at this moment. Understand? Okay, And then Venerable Sariputta say, direct your mind to the deathless element of Nibbana. So after that, Venerable Anuruddha listened precisely the advice given by Venerable Sariputta, and finally he attained Nibbana. So for you, please check your own hindrances. Which hindrances bother you the most? So the moment it arises at you, it's not there all the time. Hindrances are not in your mind all the time. It is conditionary arisen dhamma. Maybe at this moment is worry. Another moment, think of food. Then is sensual desire. Another worry. Another hindrances. So at different times, different hindrances will arise, invade your mind. So you must train yourself to be clear in your mindfulness, to be keen in your mindfulness, so that you can tackle it, know it. Then, if you can, don't attend to it, ignore, don't pay attention to it. Or you are more advanced meditator, not contemplate it as impermanent, conditionally arising phenomena. It will not last. It will change until it disappeared in your mind. Then your meditation will go smoothly. Understand? This is very important for you. Huh? Okay. Therefore, it is essential to have mindfulness to know what hindrances that arise in your mind at this very moment. From time to time, you must know it. When it arises, try the way to tackle it. The best way is to aware of its arising, look at it, using your mindfulness, hold it, then contemplate. Later on, contemplate it as this also will change. This will pass away. This will go away. Or contemplate it as impermanent, vanishing, and so on. Then it will lift your heart. If you don't have mindfulness and contemplation of vanishing, we call it insight, then you keep on worrying. And gradually you grasp the worry as my worry. The worry belongs to me. Then it takes a long time. Since you grasp it belong to you, then since I belong to you, then I will never leave you. I will go with you, right? Then you will be defeated by your hindrances. Therefore, don't identify the hindrances as I, my, myself, belong to me as mine. If you identify with it, then it will not leave you. It's your fault because of your identification. Is the worry belong to you or is the worry yourself or not? Yes or no? No. So since you know it's not yourself, let it go. Let it go. So mentally contemplate it as impermanent, vanishing, not myself. And you must have that inclination to let it go. Only then it will go away. Okay? Okay, so let us start what Buddha said in this contemplation on hindrances. Before that, let me explain a little bit these five hindrances. The first one, sensual desire. Buddha compares sensual desire like heavily in debt. Like you own somebody money. You are heavily in debt. So you are not free as well. No? Then for ill will, Buddha compared ill will or anger as being affected by physical illness. When you are angry, the body is very sick. And for sloth and torpor, Buddha compared it as imprisoned. Like you are the prisoner and put into the prison. Your mind is imprisoned because at that time you cannot think of anything. And for restless and remorse, Buddha compared it as slavery, slave. When your mind is obsessed by restlessness, you cannot control your mind at all. At that time you are like a slave. Being controlled by your boss. No freedom at all. So Buddha compared it as slavery. And for doubt, Buddha compared the doubt as dangerous desert. And when you come to the desert, you do not know which way to go because of doubt. Don't know which way to go. Okay, now let us see how Buddha teach this contemplation on five hindrances. He said, there being sensual desire in him, a bhikkhu understands there is sensual desire in me. Or, there being no sensual desire in me, he knows there is no sensual desire in me. And they also know how there comes to be the arising of an arisen sensual desire, and how there come to be the abandoning of arisen sensual desire. We start with the first one, Kama Chanda Nivarana, sensual desire first. So, there are three or four steps that you should know. First, Buddha said, there being sensual desire in me, when sensual desire arises in you, Buddha said, a bhikkhu understand the sensual desire arises in me. This is mindfulness. Right? The first step you should do is to recognize the sensual desire is arising in you. Recognize by way of mindfulness. And the second, or there being no sensual desire in me, he knows there's no sensual desire in me. As I said, the five hindrances, including sensual desire, is not there all the time because it's conditionally arisen Dhamma. Depend on condition, it arises. It's not there all the time. So when it arises, your mindfulness, sati knows it. If you do not know, it means that you have very blunt mindfulness. Your mindfulness is so blurred. You do not know what's happening in your mind. Then how are you going to make progress? Okay? And when this sensual desire has gone from your heart, no more, you also must know. If you do not know, what happened? Okay, let's say if sensual desire arises in your mind, you do not know. Okay, what happened? Please answer. Anyone want to try? What happened? Yes, then you will be controlled by sensual desire. Okay, once you have been controlled by sensual desire, what is the consequences? Action, correct. You will act. Because your mind is now is like slave already, being controlled by it, then you will act. And this action, can it be good karma or bad karma? Bad karma, because sensual desire is not something good, right? So it is bad karma. So once bad karma performed, every bad karma or good karma, every karma once performed, leave behind karmic energy. And that karmic energy will go after you. To say you is only conventional truth for you to understand. Because in the teaching of the Buddha, there's no you, no I, no me. So that karmic potency, karmic energy will follow that mental stream. When time ripens, when all conditions are fulfilled, that bad karmic energy will sprout, blossom, become an effect. And this person, to say person is only conventional truth, and this person will suffer accordingly. So when we think of the consequences of these five hindrances when they arise, then we should arouse our mindfulness to be aware of it. So this is the first consequences. When you are not aware of the sensual desire that's arisen in your mind, then you will be controlled by it. is the one bad consequences. What is the second consequences? What is other? What are the other consequences? Speech, just as we have mentioned, all actions will be done. Crave for it more and more. Yes, you will crave for it more and more. Some more? There are so many bad consequences. Okay, there's another important point. Since you cannot answer, then I know your level of understanding. Sometimes when I ask you a question, I just want to know your level of understanding, right? If we do not know the sensual desire has arisen in us, we are controlled by it, we will crave more and more for it. And the last one, the important one is we will identify this sensual desire as myself. Right? Unconsciously, almost spontaneously, automatically, spontaneously, we identify this sensual desire as myself, belong to me. And this is called identification view. Precisely because of this view, we cannot achieve stream enterer. Precisely because of this identity view, we cannot become sotapan. Therefore, we come to practice with the very aim to become sotapan, right? When we become sotapan, stream enterer, the gate of four apaya, the gate of four woeful states will be closed permanently. We will never fall into animal kingdom. We will never fall into a beta world, a hungry ghost. We will never fall into hell or become asura. All this unwholesome destination we call four woeful states. The gate of four woeful states are shut permanently. Therefore, we should be skillful enough to tackle this identity view. So when a sensual desire arises in us, if we don't have mindfulness, then we act upon it, we create unwholesome karma, and then we crave for more, and also we identify this sensual desire as myself, as I belong to me. And this enhances our identity view again. Okay? Therefore, Buddha, the first step, you should be aware. When sensual desire arises in you, know it. Who knows it? Okay, when sensual desire arises in you, who knows it? Don't say I, don't say my. This identity view, okay? Who knows it? Feeling? No. Who knows it? Sati, yes. Mindfulness, my goodness. Sati knows it. Mindfulness must know what's happening at this moment. What's the meaning of sati? Mindful of knowing what's happening at this moment is called mindfulness. Okay? So sati know it. If you say I know it, also correct, but in conventional truth. Precise answer is mindfulness knows it. Therefore, we cultivate mindfulness. We develop mindfulness. So mindfulness knows it. And when that desire, sensual desire, disappeared in your mind, you also must know it. If you do not know it, what's the consequences? If you do not know it, if you do not know sensual desire has disappeared in your mind, then your consciousness will think it is permanent. Right? But when the sensual desire had disappeared in your mind and you know it, mindfulness know it, it has gone. Then you cultivate the perception of impermanent. Oh, you know, it is impermanent. It's not lasting. It is not permanent. Then the way of your thinking, accordant with the truth. The perception of impermanent start to harmonize with the truth of impermanence. Therefore, when this sensual desire disappeared in your mind, your mindfulness also must know it. It has gone. It has gone. Then you start to know sensual desire is also impermanent. No need to be afraid of it. It's impermanent. So this is important to know when it arises and to know when it is absent. Okay? And the next one, the condition for its arising. I want to stop for a while because I don't know the interpreter will take how long to interpret. If we have time, after his interpretation, I will continue. Okay?